Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Galatians, and we'll finish this chapter tonight, and God willing, and such a wonderful, wonderful fact it is here that God wants us to realize. We have covered rather fully the first 9 verses. And remember, in these first 2 chapters, now Brother Copley outlines the book just a little differently than this. I mean a little more fully. But I think we can commit it to our memory and to the real structure of it pretty much by realizing the first 2 chapters deal with Paul and his apostleship, what it adds up to, and it's such an awesome thing. As I think tonight where the church is and where we are in the church, and the absolute almost nothing in numbers are believing this book of Galatians. But I will read from the 10th verse, and we read through to the end of the chapter. And your heart can't be other than happy in one sense of the word, and yet heavy in another, as you think of the unspeakable privilege that is mine, and yet look around and realize the vast, overwhelming, almost impossible number of God's precious people that are out of the will of God if you really put them up by this chapter as their measurement. Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God?" I feel like that. "Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify or guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." That is, it isn't at all like a man. It's a gospel that man would never dream up or dream of. And one of the most convincing things about it is the way that people are saved and yet turn right around and accept something that's contrary to the very thing that they were saved in and by. He said, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, in other words, this is beyond education, and we'll deal with that at a little later. It has to come by revelation, and thus anyone can have it. You see, you don't have to have an education to know him. This is a revelation. And for an example, a man or a woman might fall deeply, deeply in love and have one of the greatest of all marriages, and yet neither one of them ever know how to read or write. You see, a person is revealed, and education is something that you get up here, if it's the proper kind of education. "So far ye have heard of my conversation or manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion. I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, like Jeremiah and others, God, knowing what the man would be and what he would become as he would yield to him, had his mark on him in a sense from his birth, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't go up to Adam, to the natural man, to the institutions of learning and so on. Neither went I up to Jerusalem, to them which were apostles before me. He didn't go to all the other religious groups. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He went to that place where Moses was in the mount with God. And there he received, he'd been 40 years learning something in Egypt, or Moses had, and it took him 40 years to unlearn it. And Paul, he just bypassed it all. He had already learned religion and all of those things. And I somehow wonder at the marvel of how quickly he turned again unto Damascus. Incidentally, let me pause just a little in the reading. I didn't get to see it, but John was telling me that Larry King was interviewing this Berkowitz. Is that the man that was called the Son of Sam? And he, it was a marvel. I wish I could have heard the fella. I see if Kevin can't get a hold of him, we'll send him some literature. But of course, you know, he was a Jew. And John said it was absolutely marvelous how that fellow, without the training from others, had turned immediately. He told Larry King how he said, "The old life, that's not me anymore. That's no more. I took Christ, and I'm a new creature." He said, "I'm not," I guess, I don't know how clear John made some of this to me. We just conversed over a breakfast. But John told me that he said that he had no contact. He told Larry King, he said, "I just have my Bible now." He said, "I know that some people and some prisoners get prison religion," but he said this had nothing to do with that. He said, "I heard from another prisoner." Another prisoner led him to the Lord. And of course, Larry King, I think, called him a traitor to the Jews. He said, "I'm no longer a Jew." He said, "I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new person." And he said, "Now, I haven't turned to religion to try to get out of here. I know I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this prison." And he said, "I deserve to be for the old thing that is gone." But he said, "I know," he said, "Larry, I know the Messiah. I know he's Jesus Christ. And I know him for what he is." I wish I could have heard it. And John did his best to tell me in the short time we were talking. But here, he said, I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother, who was the pastor, obviously, up at Jerusalem. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they that heard had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. And Lord willing, we'll finish this portion of it next week when we go in to the second chapter. But I think tonight I appreciate who I am and where I am and what I know as I've never appreciated it up to this time. In chapter 1 and verse 11 through 2:21, we deal with Paul's authority. And I'll stay with my notes. This has been what I've written down through the week. And certainly a most vital truth. Most of us are familiar with building codes. Now let's just suppose that you were a great wealthy man and you wanted to build yourself a great skyscraper in which you would need workers in all of the skills of building. And you would hire several hundred workers, inasmuch it would be such a great building in your thinking, and you'd tell them to go to work. And they didn't need supervision. You are carpenters, you're plumbers, you're electricians, you're heaters, you are air conditioners. You know all of these skills, bricklaying and whatever, steel building and so on. Just build. Go out there and build. Each one of you do what you please. I don't know how many of you have been in California and gone to the old mansion of the Remington heir. The woman was a little addled and she got into a strange religion. And this woman that stayed with her told her as long as she would build, she wouldn't die. And she hired two carpenters. If you're ever out that way, go see it. Be quite an eye-opener to you if you haven't already. And she hired two carpenters and told them to just build. And they say it's one of the most confused operations that you could ever think of. Stairways that go nowhere. Doors that open on nothing. Just a rambling building. Now, if you were a builder and you just say, just go work. You don't need supervision, just build, just go on and do it. Who could describe the chaos? And yet we have heard in this age, and you think of it, what's Jesus doing in this age? He's building the greatest city and its temple that will ever be erected in the eternities to come. It will be the capital of the overall universe, of everything. And the way I know that, it will be the temple of Jesus and his bride and all of their people, their family, their supporters, their helpers, and whatever. And most of all, it will at last be the temple of God. You go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and you will read the tabernacle or the dwelling of God is now with men. That will be God's headquarters. That will be where his throne is. So you know what? Jesus picked up all of we ignoramuses, and I know we're ignoramuses and nuts and whatever because we think we can just build it like we want to, and old Joseph Smith can build it like he says, and Mary Eddie Baker can build it the way she says, and the Pope says, I can build it the way I say, and all of us just about pick up the chorus and say, just do the best you can. It's good God, it's good devil, it's good everybody, and so just go out and do your best. God's a good God, and all paths lead to him. Well, now I'm going to tell you there's two paths and they're both going to lead to him. But there's a vast difference in the ultimate of how the two end up. And there are going to be a lot of God's precious people. He said, you see, according to them, he just says, now do as you please. Jude, just do what you think is right. I'm a good God. All roads lead to me. Any plan you think of is right. Just do the best you know how. Yet when he told Moses to build the tabernacle in the wilderness, which was a temporary thing, he said, see that you build it according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. That's the book of Hebrews. And every detail, from the least to the greatest thing in that tabernacle in the wilderness, was outlined by God in detail. His weights, the lengths, the shapes, the colors, the metals, the cloths, the cords, the precious stones, all of these things were according to what God said. And when two of the priests that ministered in that place a little later after they erected it, Nadab and Abihu, took fire from other than the brazen altar in their censers and went in with incense to supposedly worship God, what did he do to them? You know exactly, if you read the Bible, what he did to them. He killed them. Now God is building tonight, and he has been building since the day of Pentecost. This unspeakable structure. And you make sure it's going to be built exactly like he said, do it. And so you and I had better know the truth. And we'd better live with the truth and support the truth. Dear ones, my heart grows heavy as I look out there and I think. Just think, what do you suppose God would have done and what would have happened to Basileel and those helpers that helped him, that he had put in them the wisdom to build it like he said, build it? Supposing they had said, well, I don't like it this way. And I don't like this, and I don't look like that. How long do you think they'd lived? How long do you think God would have gone on with him? But tonight, you and I live in a day of grace. God has plenty of time to deal with anyone that defies him. Don't you know that? There's no escape. There's no way out. We're like someone in a dead-end path. And Jesus spoke of the two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. And then Paul spoke. He said, now God's going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And, dear hearts, God's plans in the least manner must be obeyed. But that was just a temporary meeting between God and man back there. And in this age, Jesus is building the tabernacle that is the dwelling place of God for eternity. And we are vain enough, maybe, to reject his plan and say it doesn't really matter. Huh? Did you read the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians and listen to what it really said? It said, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels, if I understand all mysteries, if I have faith to move the mountains, if I give my body to be burned, what we would think if we saw a person that skilled and that capable and that able, but if I didn't do it from the impulse of the love of God, I am nothing and I've profited nothing. Precious hearts, listen, I don't know whether you feel it or not, but I feel one of the most privileged people that ever lived. Why me? Why me? My daughter said, why not me? Well, she made a choice. Bless her heart. But that was, you see, all of that back yonder was temporary. What we are living is forever. Now, they followed a gospel back there. And it had a purpose. And some of them were wonderful, wonderful saints, but not like we are. So in chapter 1, 11, verse through 24, we deal with Paul's authority and God's chosen apostle and the dispensation of grace and glory that God gave to Paul for the age. Let's turn to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and read the first 5 verses. For this cause, look back into the preceding verses, and you'll know what cause. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation, the age of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it now is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now I will just read the next one. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. There's the will that has been made out to you. You precious people that are here tonight. Paul came with the unsearchable riches of Christ, and he said, I don't care your color. I don't care your station in life. I don't care whether you're small or great, weak or strong. I don't care if you're educated or uneducated or what. I have been blessed to tell you of the unsearchable riches of Christ. They are for you. And God gave me the message to bring to you. And no one else has it. Paul, today instead, the devil has always raised up enemies to fight against whatever God's plan may be. So it has been through the church age. And today, instead of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Jebusite, the Girgashite, and so on, and Amalek as a nation, Satan has been able to even get true believers to reject the word and his plans. Tell me where there's one that you know of. Here and there, you will find one that know Paul's gospel. Where will you find them? You see, you have to become a nobody like me for God to reveal this to you. I don't care if you're the highest of the high, as Paul was. I think of dear old Brother Copley, the educated man that he was, and how he humbled himself. I saw, as the fellow said, with my two looking eyes. I had them both at that time, Ernie. And I saw that dear man. I saw the kind of man he was. Frail. I heard him preaching. I'll never forget that as long as I have a mind and am in this body. And I remember he looked like skin on bones. And his neck fit in his celluloid collar like a broomstick in a stovepipe. And he was up there and he used some big word, and I can see him now. Pray for me that I'll forget my college education. Now that wasn't a fake. He really meant that. Now, I'm sure his college education was profitable to him. But he didn't lean on it. He didn't count on it. He didn't think he was somebody because he had that education. He was such a humble man. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. And I won't go ahead. There's seven great things there. But Satan has been able, as I say, to even get preachers and teachers of the gospel, true believers, to reject God's word and his plans. Such is especially true in this book of Galatians. Here it is certain, which came from James, with the Jews' religion to pervert, that means corrupt, and the dissimulation, we'll read in chapter 2, became so great that Peter was deceived. And that word is, he discriminated. That word is a word, and it's also translated hypocrisy. It means to act, to pretend you're something that you aren't. You go to the theaters, and here is a fella coming out with a crown on his head and robes and rings, and he says he's King Henry III. And sometimes they study it so much they get to thinking they are. But you see, you can be deceived. You can think, Paul said, they think they're somebody when they're nobody. And precious heart, you're nobody if you aren't something in Jesus Christ. And don't act like a Christian, be a Christian. You see, we don't act out Christianity, we live out Christianity. That's what we saw in this testimony that went out up in Alaska. In Paul's day, they did all they could to discredit him. And today, the ignoramuses are, they think they know and they don't know. They question his apostolic authority. I don't know how he ever got by, but I knew a fellow that joined up with the group in Kansas City, and I heard him say he didn't like the Apostle Paul. He wanted nothing to do with him, and he was preaching in a so-called grace church. Now, I don't know. The deacons didn't deek. Or something. They didn't know what they were doing, what they were trying to deal with. And precious hearts, listen. You'd be better off to eat arsenic as take in the preaching that you hear tonight. Now, I'm not sour grapes. That isn't what I'm talking about. I'm telling you what is real. What do you think Paul would say if he were here tonight? He says in this chapter, he said, if I were an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we've preached, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. Well, I've never got that much courage, Bob, I don't think. But I'm about to get it. Paul shows, as Moses was given his authority directly from God by bypassing man in every sense of the word, so was he. Now, dear ones, we have come to a time when truth means little, even in society. I watched this one of them talk show guys, John, what's his name? What? We were talking about him this morning. Yeah, Riley. And he had a great authority in the United States, in the world, on what's happening to the human race. A fine, educated man, and he had a girl. And maybe some of you, I never did know about the event, but it happened a few years ago, not very many, where they had a contest, and all of the students in the United States, certain ones were picked out, and they had this contest, and you were supposed to win a certain prize. I never heard what it was, but anyway, because I got in on it after it was underway, and nine of them, went through one of the teachers who was disbarred from teaching after that, went through one of the teachers, and they stole the test and studied it perfectly. And when they made such a perfect grade, they knew there was something wrong. But they got the prize, and she was sitting there, and he said to her, well, aren't you sorry that you did that? Why, no. She said, if you can get by with something like that, that's all right. Well, and then the fellow that's such an authority, he said, we've come to a place when the moral fiber of America is gone. He said, people, almost without exception, lie and cheat and steal and whatever. But precious hearts, that's going on in the society of today. And that man's conclusion was that there was just one thing: get back to reality or be destroyed. This old world is beginning to totter like a drunken man, if you don't know it. But today, Paul's gospel, do you realize it means almost nothing to the real preachers and teachers of the church today? How many thousands of people have I had come and go and come and go? Oh, Brother Hill, I've been looking for this. I've been looking for this. There sits Ray back there, and he brought a lady that was working for him in my office. And you remember how, oh, she just gushed about she's looking for this. You remember it, Ray? And I said, well, maybe. Maybe. I've seen I don't know how many say the same thing you are. And they came two or three times. And instead of saying, oh my, they got up and said, oh me, and went the other way. They were like Jesus. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part with me. And many said, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? And they went out and walked no more with him. And turning to the 12, he said, will ye go also? They said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And you know, I can't get rid of old Ernie. Brother Ernie Austin, he said to me, Brother Hill, I've quit this meeting time after time, but I kept coming back. Now, if you felt that way, I don't blame you. You are just one of many. But precious hearts, what are you going to do? One day you're going to meet him. You want his best? Do you realize the candidates for the bride of Christ, the people that will rule and reign with him, not only now, but forever. You're sitting here. The Word of God will change you from glory to glory, even unto the likeness of the Lord. So today, Paul's gospel means almost nothing to these real preachers and teachers. I've told you about talking to the late Bishop Casey one night and out in Regis, and he said to me, "You have the Bible all right, but we have tradition." I said, "Yeah, you have tradition." And he said, "And the saints." I said, "Yeah, you do have tradition, but if there's any saints, we've got them." And so black or white, red or yellow, rich or poor, high or low, whatever, if there's a saint, they belong to the same thing I do. Amen? Amen. Oh my, I'll tell you, people, wake up. Do you know who you are? You realize who you are? If you are embracing what you are hearing, in the half a wink of an eye, you could be clothed and in the presence of his eternal glory. Do you feel that as you sit there? Do you ever kind of feel wings are beginning to sprout between your shoulders? I do. Actually, sometimes I've gotten up from praying and I look down to see if I was really walking on the ground. Now, I mean that. I'm not telling a story. I'm not just goofing. Actually, I felt like I was floating. Well, I'm going to get rid of this now. I see I've just used up my time. But in chapter 1 and 2, Paul defends his apostolic authority and defeats the efforts of the Judaizers to discredit him and his gospel. And in his salutation, verses 1 through 5, he shows his official title, came directly from God. He rebukes the perverted believers, that is, those that had fallen for the Jews' religion, and he denounces those certain who came down from James with the Jews' religion, which added to or took away from the gospel. That was their effort. And Paul said, "Let no man therefore judge you in meats or drinks or holidays or holy days or new moons and such like." We have those that Paul said they teach, touch not, taste not, which all is to perish, that is, pork. Don't eat a pork. You know, if you kept the law, did you know you'd starve to death? That's right. Because would you know when a fly flew over that? Would you know what it touched? Would you know what it came in contact with? I don't know whether Arthur was ever orthodox, but his dad must have been. And bless his heart, he tried to be. We don't try to be, we are. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now you can walk after the flesh, because you have that old nature in you. It's dead if you'll believe it. Do you realize that? Sure it is. So you think of how people think they're holy by keeping the Sabbath and whatever. The Sabbath is keeping me. I'm not trying to keep a Sabbath. I've had the rest since the Lord taught me the grace of God. I've been resting. Now, I haven't always walked with Him like I should because I lost. Well, and I think I had to learn some lessons. But Paul emphasizes the gospel gave to him was purely by grace. It was through faith. How do we get saved? We get saved by grace through faith. And that faith is not turned, if you will, I'm quoting, of course, 2:8-9, but Scott, turn, if you will, to Acts 17:31 while I'm finishing this, and I'll have you read it. You might read 30 as well as 31, but, and I'll say something here in a moment, but by faith, and that not of yourselves. That faith is not of ourselves. Paul said, the life that he lived in the flesh, he lived by the faith of the Son of God. And we're told, have faith in God. So we are admonished to live by faith, and faith comes how? All right, if these fellows tell you to stay away from doctrine, how much faith can you have? You can only have what they might tell you. Do you realize the church, as a vast majority, knows next to nothing about the Pauline gospel? Listen, if you take the ministry mainly into this laboratory of truth, you're going to rule out almost anything you hear. But this is going to stand. Whether I believe it, you believe it, or whoever does or don't, it's going to stand. Now read it, Scott.
In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, concerning which he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead.
Now that word, he hath given assurance, is the identical word that you find translated throughout the Bible, faith. You see, Paul there is preaching at Mars Hill. You remember, Bob, when you took me over to Mars Hill and we stood there? They didn't even have the sign up that they had years before to the unknown God. You'd have thought that they would have made sure that they marked that place, put a monument up there, but they didn't. So if you will take time, you'll find the words grace, faith, love, hope, liberty, promise, life, Holy Spirit, and we could go on, are all the words of Paul's gospel. While legality's words our works, bondage, human thoughts and human plans, unbelief, witchcraft, bewitched, strife, corruption, and so forth. They follow the legal religion. Paul called them unbelievers, witchcrafters, bewitched, strife, corruption, and so on. Those that followed the Jews' religion. Now, the Jews' religion was simply, to kind of define it for you, they added Sabbaths, except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. You see, listen, precious hearts, don't call common. Peter was warned. Peter, don't you call common anything I've cleansed. You remember when God let that sheet down? Because he wanted him to go to the Gentiles. And Peter said, not, Lord, I can't eat. You know, I'm an Orthodox Jew. Nothing unclean passes my lips. He had it, you see, he had it in a white sheet. Linen, which speaks of righteousness. He had all them creeping things and everything in that sheet. And so now, Peter, don't you count anything common or unclean that I have cleansed. And now, I don't want this to get back to anyone, and I don't think she'll hear it. But at last, Bob, we've seen the Lord clean up Debbie. That ought to gladden your heart. She said, she calls me a long distance. What a tremendous struggle that poor woman has had. And she said, Brother Hill, you're the only person that never gave up on me. She said, I've moved out. I'm living for the Lord. I'm in a little church and I'm singing for the Lord. I haven't had a drink for over 11 months. And I don't know why I didn't do all of this sooner. Well, you see, precious hearts, God love her. She has come to the place that Christ is living in her. Now, I can get my old man to be religious. He'll go to Sunday school. He'll go to church. He'll give. He'll do. Paul said, if I give my body to be burned, it's amazing what a fanatic bronco worshiper will endure. If it was snowing snowballs out there a foot deep and they were playing the Raiders, if they took the Christians out of there that will be there, the place would be almost empty. And when you got through, what did you have? A little bit of excitement over 22 men fighting over a bag of wind. And somebody's going to end up awful disappointed and sit there. Did you know if we didn't have heat in here and padded pews and so on, there'd be a lot of people that come that wouldn't come. If there was no heat here tonight, I remember years ago I was preaching up in Canada, and there was such a godly man. He was a Norwegian by birth and had grown up in Norway. And he told me about the Christians. And at that time, Russia was very hard on a Christian. He told me, he said, Brother Hill, I have met out in the forest 60 below zero where we had a meeting. Now, I don't know whether that's me or not. But maybe if we didn't have, you see, the devil hasn't defeated us with harsh things. He's defeated us with fat things. He's got the preachers now preaching in the pulpit, if you please God, you're going to prosper and be in health. I'll tell you, if you're going to prosper, you might wake up in the morning and the rug has been pulled out from under you. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. Timothy, deny him and he'll have to deny you. Oh, how the legalist that don't know jumps on that and says, see there. He isn't talking about going to heaven. He's talking about reigning in heaven. You will take time. You will find all of this to be true. Dear ones, God cannot be glorified apart from grace. Did you know that? You think it over. You study it. Paul said he lived by the grace of God. He labored by the grace of God. He was what he was by the grace of God. He admonished that God was able to do and to make all grace abound toward us, that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound unto every good work. And it was when he became the weakest that God became the strongest. Now that don't mean when he went out and got drunk. God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? It simply means that when he came to the place, he said, God, I can't do it in me. That he became strong. Anything God does for you and me, it'll be by the grace of God. It won't be because we fasted a week or because we wore certain clothes or because we did this thing or that thing or ate this thing or ate that thing or do's and don'ts. That isn't the reason God will deal for you. He'll deal for you when you say, Lord, be my strength. I need you. I can't. I know you're in control. The Bible tells me I am your workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which you have ordained that I walk in them. But Lord, I just can't walk in that by myself. I need you. Do you see it? All right, I think you do, Ernie. You're supposed to be black, but I think I saw your face shine a little. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I want to see you people. You know, I'm about ready to leave this old scene one way or the other. And I'm expecting to see you at the throne. Some fella said, Brother Hill, I'll see you at the Eastern Gate. I said, I'm not going to wait there. I'm going to the throne. That's where I want to meet you. And if you don't, I'm going to be disappointed in you. But the thing of it is, you're going to be disappointed. What do you say? Shall we meet over there at the throne? Amen. Bless your hearts. Verses 11 and 12, we find his revelation. 13 and 14, we see his earthly education. 15 and 17, his spiritual education. 18 through 24, we see the ministry which followed this. Now, I'm not going to try to cover it. Shall we stand? Be dismissed. Trust God for the service. God love you. If Jesus tarries, hope I'll see you Sunday, Friday night prayer meeting at 8:00. The choir meets at 7:00, and we'll expect to see God move and do a lot of good things for all of us.